Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I am your host, Henderson Mann, and with me this week is Mark.
Hello.
And Rich.
Hey, what's going on?
And we are Coryless this week. We are driving this boat without a Cory.
Like with cable television.
Well, I don't even know what
the Corys.
Oh, we cut. I don't think that's whatever. So anyway, we're here to talk about video games and video game news and such like that. And the one thing I did want to bring up is I seen last night that Nintendo's creator, Nintendo, whatever that damn thing they do, where you can stream their games and they take your money.
Oh.
The Nintendo's Creators Club or whatever the fuck that is.
Whatever.
Apparently last night or day before yesterday or something, they made it where you can't use their games over YouTube Live. You can still upload to Twitch and all that, but for some reason they don't want you using YouTube Live and they've banned you from doing that. So.
Ooh. I just don't get it. If I was a streamer, I don't even know why I would bother with Nintendo games. And for the most part, how many Nintendo games are really worth streaming or are good streaming games? I guess there would have been one, but like you're gonna play Mario Kart and stream it. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Mario Odyssey would be fun. I mean, but
I guess.
But Rabbit, I mean, but here's the thing: from what my understanding was, and I could be wrong on this, but the way they were talking about it after I was reading into this, basically, if you sign up for that, Nintendo gets 60%, you get 70% of all your profits from any game you play on there, not just Nintendo. So, like, Nintendo gets, like, a cut of your Xbox streaming.
What? It counts for everything
on that whole channel. If you stream, they basically say
if that's true, then I don't know why anyone would sign up for it.
I don't know.
That makes it completely worthless.
Well, I could be wrong about that because that's what it sounded like.
There's no way that's right.
But originally, it was the fact is if you had any other system on your channel, they would not allow you to be part of that program. So if you had to literally only stream Nintendo games on that one channel, or they wouldn't even allow you to be part of the Creators Club.
Whatever. Nintendo is stupid as shit. Like, I'm gonna have a lot of Switch things to talk about today. But I still am just in this. It's not a love-hate relationship with Nintendo. It's just a hate relationship. Because they are seeing success with the Switch and all that kind of jazz. But all of their success, and I think this kind of it may be true for most of it. I mean, they make great games. The games that they make are great. But anytime they have success, it just seems to be dumb luck. Like the Wii. Who the hell? Like, that's just like, oh, we made this console that looks shittier, that for the most part controls shittier. You know, there's some gimmicky things that it works well with, but it's just some dumb shit. And then it's like, oh, old people love this. Adults love this. Okay. And then they're like sick of it and they don't buy any games for it. And the attach rate is awful. I just think whenever they have success, it's just dumb luck. There's nothing about the Switch that is amazing. Not really.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's cool.
I still don't have one.
that's amazing,
the one
Rich.
With kids,
right, exactly. That tells you a lot, right there.
But I kind of agree with. I mean, Nintendo. The only reason why they get by with everything is because they have a good catalog of great games, and they always do a good job at making their own games. But
the one thing they've always been good at is handheld. They've always been good with that for the most part. The 3DS was. You know, it had that rocky start, which was one of the craziest things.
Mm-hmm.
It was, what, 250 or?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think it was 250 at launch, and then they dropped it to 179 or 69 shortly after. And did the whole.
You get the free games. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But
all I know is I still have that little badge.
And the thing is that the 3DS bounced back from that, so.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, so, it's not hard to bounce back when you drop it that much.
Right.
And make it much more palatable.
But my problem with the Switch is, I mean, there are some great games on there, don't get me wrong. I've got two of them on my list today that I think are pretty cool games. But they're the indie games, you know. But I'm just so sick of hearing everybody give Nintendo a pass when they're fucking things up. I mean, they really are shitty at business.
Yeah,
and they get a pass.
Awful business men and women. Because even you look the way they've handled the NES Classic, and I don't know what the situation is with the SNES Classic and how easy or not easy it is to go into a store and pick one up, or how the stock will continue to replenish over time.
Well, I did get one on the night of release, but as soon as I got off work, I was like, I'm going to pop over to Walmart because they're open at midnight and see if they're even doing a launch, because I had no idea. And I go in there and I'm looking around. I'm like, there's nobody there. And I'm like, are you guys doing a midnight launch for the SNES Classic? And they're like, yeah, but you got to go stand over by the camera department. So I'm like, okay. So we walk over there. Of course, there's a line of about 11 people. And I was like, okay, that's not too bad. And Brickseek, actually has a thing where you can track the,
I do not think Brickseek is something anyone should use. The accuracy on that, in my experience, is awful.
It was spot on for Nintendo's. They told us
that it may be spot on for that day one, but like as a replenishing stock, no.
Well, that also could be the fact that there's shit just sitting on the back in the shelves and nobody's gotten to it yet. I mean,
no, when like the Switch, I was using that. It was terrible. Like, I'd go to a store and they'd be like, no. We haven't had one for like day. Like, no, this is completely inaccurate.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it was right. Like I said, the first night they said they had 24. There was 11 people in line. And of course, there's this fucking tall douche nozzle up there who was like, well, there's 12 of us in line now. How about can we all just buy two? And I'm like, you fucking jackass. I'm thinking, you asshole.
And I said that out loud.
Well, okay. And then we're waiting in line, and he gets an argument with the woman because she comes back and says, no, we can only sell one. Well, I'm just going to go out to my car, and I don't know why this is doing it. I said, the reason why they do it is because assholes that go and sell it on eBay. And then, like, two other people in the back line with me were like, yeah. I said, he goes, I want this for my kid. And another guy's like, man, I've been waiting for this all the last 2 months. And we started, like, yeah, I went on my eBay rant about how much I hated eBay sellers, and these people wouldn't say shit. They just turned their back because they knew what they were in the line for. And I hope this fucking thing, I hope they just flood the goddamn market with this thing, and I hope you lose your asses, you fucking dickholes. Oh, I fucking can't stand this shit.
Nintendo, the family console.
I also hate the way that people give so much praise to the Switch for having all these indie games and everything and acting like it's this great thing when it's just the new Vita. That's all it is. It's not it's getting some indie exclusives, but it's just like the Vita, or like just getting a bunch of, okay, this is an indie game that came out on PC a year ago, came out on consoles too as well, or it came out on iOS. It's like, whoa, you know, it's better on the Switch. You know, some of these games, they feel at home and on there, but it's not like it's all brand new stuff.
You know, yeah. I'll give Nintendo credit for this. I've never seen a company ride the coattails of nostalgia so well as Nintendo.
Well, how many other companies can really do that?
No, Sega
doesn't exist.
Yeah,
PlayStation has been around for a while, but I just don't.
Dude,
I think because they came into the market when it was the first attempt at 3D and everything looked like shit, that it's not like, oh, I'm really nostalgic for all those ugly polygonal games. Nobody is.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm not even talking about video games. I'm talking about just consumer products in general. It's uncanny. I've never seen a company just get a pass on so much. I mean, from the press on down, it boggles my mind.
And don't get me wrong, I love Nintendo. I love Nintendo's games, and I'm so excited for Mario Odyssey. And I went out and bought this SNES Classic, and when they bring out the NES Classic next year again, hopefully they'll flood the market, and I will be able to get one, because I think it's cute. But then people are like, all right, I'm ready for the N64. I'm like, are you really? Because there aren't that many great games for the N64. So if they do an N64 Classic, I just don't see the appeal to that. It to me, it doesn't have the same nostalgia, because that's when Sony came in and was like, started wrecking Nintendo's shit. It took down, because of Sony, it took Nintendo.
Mario 64.
Zelda.
Of Time.
Majora's Mask. They ain't going to have GoldenEye. And that right there is going to be part of the problem. But anyway, I don't know. I don't want to shit on Nintendo because we're making a lot of people mad, I'm sure. But
get GoldenEye and Microsoft is going to get 70% of all future Nintendo products. Like what they did to streamers. They're going to be like, hey, we're going to get back at you.
So, I mean, I just hate when I see somebody get excited about Doom on the Switch. I'm like, really? Because, like, Steven's like, man, Doom, I can't wait to play Doom on the Switch. I'm like,
I think that's cool.
Is it really?
It's not reason to get super excited because it's a game that came out, by the time it comes out, 2 years ago or something.
But here's the thing. Anything right now on the Switch will sell because everybody's starved for content. After a few years, are people going to be still buying these third-party games? Because that's Nintendo's downfall. At launch, they have tons of third-party exclusives or third-party games because there's nothing on that console, so everybody's trying to fall over themselves to get shit out there. And then,
I mean, the biggest problem, I think, is just that the Switch resembles the Vita so closely, and that, yes, you can hook it up to a TV easier. And I don't know, like, if you did polls or something, what the ratio is between people who play mostly in handheld mode versus TV mode. But I just, you know, it has a great launch, but I still do not have any confidence in it having staying power and continuing to sell that well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Vita sold a decent number. It had, you know, its hardcore base, and they bought a lot of games. The attach rate with the Vita was, you know, really high, but it didn't have a huge install. Mm-hmm. It didn't have a huge base of consumers and all that.
And again, the whole Nintendo gets a pass when it's like everything releases. It's like, oh, this is coming to PS4, PC, and Switch, but no Xbox, even though Xbox has a higher player base than the...
Or just the stupid things, like, and I get so annoyed when I get these press... I hate every Nintendo press release I get. I almost want to just be like, hey, take me off your press list. I don't want to get any more of your shit. But, like, every time I see something, I'm like, this is coming to the 3DS. This is Pokemon Gold. And it's like, what is this? Or with the Metroid, whatever the hell this stuff
is. Samus Returns.
There's no reason that shouldn't be on Switch either. Because there's no argument that could make any sense. Whether it's, oh, if we put it on there, no one's going to buy it on 3DS. Like, no, that's not. The 3DS install base is so much bigger, and there are plenty of people who don't have both. And somebody, like, it's just stupid. Like, there are people who have a Switch and have a 3DS, and they want to play the game. And because it's not on Switch, they're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just...
I guess the problem with that, though, it's probably not easy to port with the two screens. I mean, some games...
Yeah, but I think in the game, it's just like a map or whatever.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, you just port that to the pause menu. There you go. It's not like a map is something you need to see all the time. It's not integral to the game.
Yeah. Anyway, we should talk about what we've been playing. And I'm guessing
talk about that SNES Classic. Just talk a little bit about that.
You played a bit on it. Yeah, so I picked it up. I threw it on the TV, and it sets up real easy.
Threw it on the TV?
I threw it on the TV.
Placed it under the TV.
Well, the problem is, again, it comes with a short USB HDMI cable, so I'm kind of need to get a longer one of those, because I put it in my bedroom, of all things. I was like, hey, I'm going to sit here and play this tonight before I go to sleep. And just try it out. And what I'm probably going to end up doing is moving it to the living room, because I want to see if I can get Mom to play some of these old games and, like, record that and see how that turns out. But, so I played, I just kind of farted around with it a little bit. It's pretty cool. The little Nintendo looks pretty neat. It fits in the palm of your hand kind of thing. The controller cords are a lot longer. They're like 4.7 feet long instead of, like, 2 feet, I think they were on the NES Classic. So they're a little longer. The buttons on the system are pretty cool. Like, when you press up on the power button to turn it off and on, and then the reset button actually does the thing where if you push up on it, it just moves back down automatically like it used to do. The controllers feel like NES or Super NES controllers. They still fit. They're small as hell to me now because my hands have gotten way bigger since a child. And I wasn't even a child then, but, Yeah, I think it looks cute and it does what it's supposed to do. And, the only drawbacks again are you can't just go to some kind of pause menu and do save states. You literally have to hit the reset on the console. And that'll take you back to the menu. And then at that point, you can take that game that you've been playing and you can drop it into the, save area, or you can go into a menu and rewind the game. So if you fucked something up, however, it's just very inconvenient that you got to go through like three menus to do this by hitting the reset button on the console. So you can't really be too far away from the console if you're into doing that. But, this system has some tremendous games. I'm surprised all the RPGs it has on it. And that's real exciting. Although I'm really annoyed. I would have taken half of these games out if we could have got something like Chrono Trigger instead, which Japan got. We did not. I have no desire to ever play Super Ghouls and Ghosts or that kind of ilk. F-Zero can go F-Zero fuck itself because I can't stand that series. But it's got Mario World. It's got Yoshi's Island. It's got Final Fantasy III, Earthbound.
You froze there.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Oh, God, did I? Hopefully that carried over on my screen. Or my. Yeah, it's just got a ton of great games on it, so. Weird. But, anyway, that's all I got to say about that. So let's get to what we've been playing. I'm sorry, I'm trying to distracted by the why it froze. Fortnite Battle Royale. Did you actually get to try any of this, Rich?
Yeah, I did a little bit.
Okay.
I was the 42nd person to die like three times I played it.
Wait, you were the 42nd or you died number four, the 42th time?
I was number 42nd. So, yeah, I got some work to do on that.
Yeah, it's, I know me and, we did squad mode the other night when it first launched with Sean, Corey, Steven, and I. And that was fun. I still think this map is way too tiny for what they're trying to do here because it seems like everybody's always on top of each other. And no matter what I do, there's always like three people have landed before me. So, and I think they need to do, again, they need to do more with the drop rate of your character because it seems like it takes way too long to hit the ground, and also the glider is so slow that it just really, I mean, it's bad when you can jump out of an airplane and people can beat you to the ground and have weapons before you even land and are shooting you in the air, and that's something that does not happen in Battle Royale. So, or Battle Royale Battlegrounds. So, Mark, did you play much of the Battle Royale mode?
I played it one more time. I ended up like 12th or something, and I didn't have fun at all. I mean, the reason why I don't think it's good is because
it's Fortnite.
Well, that is the reason, because what it does is it brings to light, or it shows you that the shooting in the game is not that great. The shooting feels fine in the regular save the world or whatever the hell the mode is called,
mm-hmm.
because the zombies are so spongy and it just, you know, it feels fine and good to put a bunch of bullets in them. But when you're playing in this PvP mode and the other players are spongy and it does not feel good. And the shooting just doesn't feel good. The map is shitty. I don't like it. I don't like, it's too small and there's just a lot of design points that don't come out too well. And I think it's clearly because they just saw the success of PUBG and they're like, hey, we gotta hurry up and get this out.
Mm-hmm.
Because this shit is hot right now. And we gotta do this before PUBG actually comes out. At least, cause the whole confusion about it's not officially out yet, blah, 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 was that they were going to release it by itself for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I can at least appreciate that they released it for free.
Right.
From the get-go.
Yeah, I think
I also know there are no microtransactions for that mode either, as far as I know.
Right.
Which is super weird.
So I just don't know if they're hoping that maybe people will play this and go, well, I want to try the real Fortnite now and buy
it. I wouldn't. I would play this and be like, fuck this shit.
I feel like that map needs to be bigger, but then again, then you have to have vehicles.
Now, I have a dumb question. Do you craft your weapons or do you find your weapons?
No, you find them.
In that mode, you find them.
I cannot find jack squat, man.
You gotta go in the buildings, look for treasure chests.
Yeah, buildings, and apparently I'm taking too long to get down to the ground because,
Did you get a weapon at all during your
life? No.
How did you end up 47?
Dude, by running like my ass off, that's how.
It sounds like you were doing too much running and not enough looking.
No, dude, I was basically running from one building to another and then trying to figure out, like, maybe I need to somehow craft something, if I get some resources or something.
Usually any basement and any attic will have a treasure chest of a house. One or the other. Usually if you're like in a business, if it's got a basement, it might have a treasure chest or you might have to bust through the floor. But usually every attic of a house will have one treasure chest in it, and that'll usually get you a green weapon at least, and because their weapons are all color coded.
I guess the other question I have too. So when you're in squad mode, do you have friendly fire on that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. I shot the fuck out of Sean because he came through a wall. And I wasn't expecting him to. And he come through the wall and I shot him like twice. He's like, and then all of a sudden the name popped up. I was like, oh shit, Sean, I'm sorry. He goes, that's the second time you fucking shot me today. Cause it literally was. Cause right before that, he had tried to get through a gate. I was standing on the other side of the gate and I see him coming and I thought he was an enemy and I shot him there. And then his name popped up again. So that name needs to pop up a little more frequently. Cause it was really fucking Sean up. So anyway, that's Fortnite Battle Royale. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about it. It is what it is.
Play it
because it's fun. Some people like it.
No.
We ought to get Rich in there and we'll do a squad Rich one night.
Yeah.
It's gotta be easier to win that than the raids or Nightfalls and fucking Destiny 2.
Oh, dude, don't get me started.
Play Warframe. It's a better. Free.
Let me hit some of these pretty quick. Steam World Dig 2, I picked up. Switch game. It's coming out on PS4, I think, this week.
And Vita.
It's a fantastic game. You should definitely pick it up if you like the original. They added a whole lot of new things to it. You play as a new character that's like twice as long. Honestly, it looks even longer than that. But it takes about twice as long to complete. You get a grappling hook in this one so that you can actually, you can either shoot it up or shoot it forward. So you can kind of, get some locomotion there that way. It's fantastic.
How high does it shoot up?
It shoots a pretty good amount. I mean, if it's something's really high, you may have to jump and then use it. So you can do that as well.
If you shoot it up at a ceiling,
mm-hmm.
you grab the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
you grab onto it, and mm-hmm. then can you swing?
No, you can't do any swinging with it. But as you start to fall, you can shoot it out in front of you and catch stuff as well.
All right.
So usually
it's like one of the annoying things for me with the first game is just going down the mm-hmm. whatever, downward and not remembering to buy any ladders.
Mm-hmm. There are no ladders in this game.
Shit.
So basically, but you got a wall jump now. I don't know if you had that in the original.
I think you did. I think there was something that I didn't like about like the maneuvering and just not being able to get back to the surface and finding
that
annoying.
Yeah, that was a pain in the ass. This one they tried to fix a lot of that. But it's a really fun game and I'm really enjoying it. I mean, I even took my Switch off the dock and took it with me and sat in to get my oil changed. I sat in the middle of a room and, you know, just sit there and played it until my oil was changed. And I was like, oh my God. So this is what the Switch is for.
Never use the dock.
So, I also picked up Metroid Samus Returns.
Doesn't scratch your Switch.
No, I haven't had any issues with it. I did buy one of the covers, you know, for the screen protectors. So I picked up Metroid Samus Returns and I hate it.
Is it as hard as they say it is?
I hate it. I haven't even played much of it. I think the controls are fucking shitty. For some reason, I want to be able to just hit the button and make the missiles, like, oh, now I'm shooting missiles. Now I'm shooting pistols or guns. Now I'm shooting, you know, I want to be able to toggle. There's no option to do anything like that. You have to hold down the right trigger on, or not the right trigger, but the right bumper to shoot missiles. And so you're in a boss fight because that's all you can kill Metroids with, their missiles. And you've got to hold this fucking thing down while I try to jump all over the place. It's shitty. It's not fun. I don't know what the fuck people are smoking. That shit needs to be changed. It seems like, I just want to be able to change the shit. I don't like the control setup, and there's no reason for it not to have a option to change besides it being fucking Nintendo.
You can't change the control?
No. No.
Jeez,
You can't control? Man, yeah, you can't even.
I almost pulled the trigger on this one just because I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah. But then again, my buddy that I played D&D with, I let him borrow my Switch on the car ride to play D&D, and he seems to like it, but I hate it. This is
3DS.
Huh?
3DS. Yeah, 3DS, yeah. Right?
Said you let him borrow your Switch.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I said 3DS. Okay, 3DS. Okay. My 3DS. All right. Yeah, not my Switch. He's like, yeah, it just, I don't like the way it controls, and I don't like that stupid ass move where the monster comes at you and you swing your weapon up and knock it out of the way. I don't think that feels fun. I feel like it has a false start when an enemy starts to attack you. It'll do like one of those quick, like, oh, it'll like splash like a, flash. There'll be like a flash from the monster and then it'll attack you. And every time I see that flash, I'll hit that button and that's the wrong time. You gotta wait till the monster's near you to do it. But I don't know why they get that flash there. They need to take that off because that just confuses me. Cause my brain is triggered by that to, oh shit, hit the button now. And as soon as I do, it's too early. And then I'll get smacked. It's not fun. I don't like it at all. I know there are people out there that like it, but I don't. I picked up Golf Story on the Switch. Now, this is a golf RPG, and it really feels like one of those old school games where you're walking around on a golf course and you're like talking to people in like a city, and they're telling a story about how you used to be a golfer as a kid, but an incident with some geese destroyed your want to play golf, and now you've come back after your dad has passed away, and you're wanting to be the best golfer ever.
That's a deep golf story.
it's really goofy. But what's really cool about this game is it's not just golf. You also have like disc golf in it, and there's all kinds of stuff that you can do. There's like four things that it's made for. I haven't even got to disc golf yet. That's why I was so excited. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I enjoy it. I know Corey loves it too. So, yeah, it's funny. It doesn't take itself serious. There's like, and you can literally, you can walk around this map and at any time you can just drop your golf ball and take a swing. And you can hit enemies, or like not enemies, but you can like hit gophers with it and shit like that. But then when you're like playing actual golf courses, there are like other hazards besides, you know, like your normal golf hazards. There could be like some, gophers on the map. And if you get in their range, they'll pick your ball up and take it and throw it into the, water, or take it and throw it into
Caddyshack, the video game.
Yeah. So it's really cool. And there's like also these little side quests too, where like this one woman's like, I want a pie. So you go into the pro shop and you find the pie and you put it in a microwave and take it to her. And then she gives you money. It's really goofy and really a fun game. So I definitely want to play more of it. I've been playing it undocked when I go to bed at night. So I need to actually get the controller out. I don't like the way the golf controls, not the golf, but picking your clubs and stuff. Yeah, it's really weird to change your clubs. It's up or down on the deep or on your pad, not on your pad, but on your stick. Mm-hmm. So you've got to like, if you press up a couple times, it'll like keep making the range go further. However, to move the cursor, it's left and right. So sometimes I'm trying to like move, thinking, oh, I need to move because it's at like a 90 degree angle. I'm like, oh, I need to move this down. And it's like I start moving the thing down, then my putter gets, I pull out the putter instead, and I'm like, no, that's not what I want to do. I need to push left and right. It's really, it just isn't really intuitive. It just feels really odd. That's about the only complaint so far that I've had about it. So.
So it's a goofy game that's kind of the golf. It's a bad golf game that's got a lot of good other things going for it.
It's not, no, the golf's okay, fun. The golf's pretty fun. I mean, it's almost like playing like NES golf or something back in the day.
Okay. All
right. And it's got the, you know, the hot shots mode of golf where it's hit the button once and then hit the button again to shoot your ball or whatever. So it's just that kind of goofy golf game, but it's really cute, and it's got a style, and I'm not sure how long it is.
How much is it?
15 or 20. I think it's, I don't remember. You have to look that up. I want to say it's 15, but I could be wrong. I think it's 15.
I thought you were going to say it's like 10 or 7.
No, it's not that cheap. And then I also picked up Hob on PS4. And this is a really good game.
Such a terrible name.
It is.
Well, he's a hobgoblin. That makes sense.
You're freaking hob.
You call it hob. Yeah.
But to me, it makes sense because he's a hobgoblin. So
I don't care if it makes sense. It doesn't make it good.
I think it's fine.
Bad name.
But you basically, it's almost kind of like a little bit of a Zelda game with a lot of puzzles. It's an isometric kind of, well, kind of, not really isometric. Yeah, I guess it's kind of isometric. So sometimes there's a little platforming that's a little, difficult to pull off because you got to kind of pay attention to shadows and stuff like that. And I don't know how many times I've literally just like walked off of something because I just wasn't paying attention or thought I could step somewhere. And next thing I know, I'm falling to my death. But it does have, pretty good, save points where anytime you walk into a puzzly area, you'll unlock a save point or a checkpoint. It's really a cute game. It's got a really nice art style. It's very pretty and bright and colorful. I'm not sure how long it is. I don't think it has any dungeons, but it does have a lot of, levels where like you'll walk over a grating on the floor and you can see something below you. So you kind of start looking around for the way into that area. So there's lots of that where there's lots of depth where there's a lot of stuff under you and you can just get to it. And you get upgrades. Like you can buy an upgrade early on, lets you attack 3 times with your sword, does a combo or, you know, your typical stuff. You find, just like Zelda, you find like pieces of a health container and you need like 2 of those to upgrade your health. And you also find little bits of your sword. So you can upgrade your swords as well. It's just really a cool game. I like the little puzzles in it. And when it first released, there was lots of frame rate issues on the Pro, but I think they've patched that because I haven't had any of those issues. I did have the game lock up on me once though. So, and then the final thing I'm going to talk about is I don't like Cuphead. So
yeah, I have it too, by the way.
What, Cuphead?
Yeah.
Too hard for you?
It's way too hard for me.
It's freaking really hard, man. I want to love it. It looks great. I love the way it looks. I'm blown away how they got the animation to move so fluid. But this is too damn hard, man.
Yeah. I wish it had it's got a simple mode, which I was like, cool, I'll just do the simple mode. Then the first time you beat a boss in simple mode, it pops up and says, uh-oh, you don't get the contracts when you fight bosses on simple mode. And I'm like, come on. This game's hard enough, and I just don't really want to... you know, I don't want to play something this damn hard. And so I was like, that irked me. And then like you get like, oh, you can buy these items. I was like, cool. Well, here's an item that gives me extra hearts. So I was like, I buy that. And it's like, oh, but it also limits a slight amount of how much damage your bullets do. I'm like,
right.
Well, that's not really helpful either. You know?
Nah, exactly. It's just like, what's the point of having that system when it doesn't do a damn, I mean, it just, yeah, I really want to like this game. It's so beautiful.
Cool. It's
so beautiful.
Did you buy it, Rob, or did Corey?
No, Corey bought it.
Okay.
So, like, Corey.
It sounds like you should have bought it if you wanted something that it wasn't.
No, and Corey and Sean both are loving it, but they also played Super Meat Boy and shit like that, and I just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have probably still bought this game just for the art style. I knew I had a feeling I was not going to like
stupid.
It.
Yeah, me too.
But
yeah,
I want something.
I bought it.
I want games like this to succeed because not because of their difficulty. I wish they would have not that made it so damn hard, but because I want to see new art styles. And this is just one of those art styles. When you look at it, you're just like, oh my God, this is.
That makes no sense.
It does make sense.
So you want it to succeed because you don't like the way it plays, but it has beautiful art and you want to see more games with art like this. So you want to see a future in gaming where all the games are shitty because they're too hard, or maybe they just don't play well, but they all are really pretty. And that's the kind of future you want. Because that's basically, you're like, I want to support it because I like this art. I want to see more art like this, but I don't like the way it plays. It's too hard.
But I do want to see more art like this. But if you got enough people that complain about the way the difficulty game is, somebody will make a game that looks pretty in art style and make it where it's actually a playable game.
The majority of people like it overall.
Yeah, they do.
So they're not going to be like, oh, everyone loves the way this looks, but nobody likes it, the difficulty. Everyone hates the difficulty. So
with Ori and the Blind Forest, that game could be pretty challenging. But
yeah, I gave up on that because of the challenge.
I did too, but I mean, at least I got some solid hours of gameplay. You kind of ramped up the difficulty. You kind of ramped up there.
This one just starts the difficulty
right off the bat. You're just like, you're dead. What?
And also, it allows you to change your configuration of buttons, because let me tell you, that fucking button where you got to hold the RB button to stop moving and aim is shitty on that button. I put that shit on a trigger, so. Yeah, it's gorgeous though.
It is. I just suck at it. Maybe I'll give it to my gaming platformer savant Ricky, see if he can get it. That's why I can actually see some of the content, because
if you want to play,
and I'm not talking to you guys because you guys already played it. But if people missed it and they want to play a game that is beautiful and very fun and not as challenging, they should all go back and pick up Dust and Elysian Tail.
See, and I don't think that game's that good looking. I don't think that's a pretty game.
I do.
Oh my God.
Not on the level of something like Cuphead. It's just not even, there's not even equivalent.
Yeah, but you can actually play this game.
I didn't like the game. I didn't like that game either, so.
Not really?
Yeah.
You don't like Cuphead.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even see Richard put Cuphead on here. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, Corey's not here, so we're going to move on to Rich. What have you been playing, Rich? Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I'm going to try to keep this. I'm not going to drone on too long about this. So I went and bought Project Cars 2 because after doing a lot of reading about how they...
It's because you are the biggest racing fan in the world.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's that, too. But they had fixed, you know, a lot of the physics with the controller and da-da-da-da. They've squashed a bunch of the – it's not as buggy as the original game. And you know what? No offense to the British gaming press, but they just have a different idea of what a racing game should be as opposed to people in North America, because – to a T, those guys love that stuff, man. And they just couldn't get over the handling. They're like, the handling in the game for the controller is fixed. So I was like, okay, so I'm all in. So, it's not. It's better. It's better than the original Project Cars, but there's no consistency with physics between vehicles. Like some of the open wheel cars, they just. Like, I started off trying to do, like, what was it? Was it Formula Fords? Yeah, that's like Formula Fords. And, dude, I just couldn't. You had no feel for, like, when the traction was gonna, you know, when the adhesion would let go. It just seemed like, I don't know. And in the first Project Cars, it's like, if it rained, forget about it. I wouldn't be able to stay within 3 seconds of the AI. In Project Cars 2, they fixed it by doing the exact opposite. So if it's raining, I'm ahead of everybody by like 5 seconds.
Oh, wow.
You know? I don't know, man. It just, you know, things I do like about it. Okay, there's more cars.
And it's pretty.
It's pretty, but it's still not Forza's. I mean, you know, I thought it was pretty nice. And then that same night, I downloaded the Forza 7 demo, and I was like, wow, okay. You don't realize, like, things like the shadows not popping in or not showing up at all. Or some of the, you know, just some of the little things that Forza just does so well. When you play Forza, you realize that Project Cars is competent, but it's not Forza. But getting back to things I do like. So the track, locales you have like 70 different tracks on this thing. You know, you have, everything from like, you know, just driving on the highway, your classic road courses. They've added global rallycross, which is like rally cars that do circuit racing. They go on gravel, dirt, and asphalt. Pretty fun. Do it, you know, you jump in the cars and stuff. It's pretty cool. So I think that's pretty much the only place in consoles you can play global rallycross. That stuff is cool. The GT car stuff as a whole is pretty good. The GT3 cars are pretty awesome. They handle pretty well, considering. I did have to go in and make some adjustments to the default settings. And I keep on harping on the handling for the controller. I mean, if you're going to sell the majority of people who buy a game on a console aren't going to have a wheel. They're going to have a controller.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're just doing your job. You're just doing your potential customers a disservice by not putting a little more focus on that. Because you can definitely tell that this game was geared toward the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's odd. That is odd.
Yeah. And you're just not gonna. And granted, it's on everything. It's on PC and everything else. But you guys, you're kind of leaving. Like, I will still play Project Cars 2. Because of all the little things it has, like it has the proper, at least for road racing, they have like the proper. That's my wife's ringtone. There's her phone. It has like the proper rules for like, you know, yellow flags and standing starts and rolling starts and all that stuff. You know, cutting corners. You know, giving a position back if you cut the course. All those little things. That's really nice, but. If it just handled better, I would love this game. I would absolutely love it. I could get past a lot of the little things that aren't quite there. If you're like a hardcore racing guy, you're probably gonna play this game. You're probably gonna buy this game like I did. But I honestly can't recommend it for somebody who's like a casual. I mean,
right?
I don't think. Whereas Forza 7, you know, you can you can set the game up however you want to. I mean, if you're just want to play for fun, just put all the assist on and set the AI for really low and go at it. Whereas in Project Cars, you can't even fiddle with AI. That's the other thing I didn't like about Project Cars is. The AI, the Drivatars in Forza seem more like human based.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
that's the idea.
Right. Project Cars is just, I don't know. It's good to have if you're really into the genre, but I mean, yeah. Okay, I'll stop talking about Project Cars. Because the more I talk about it, the less I want to play. fooled again. I guess the only other thing that I played that you guys haven't played, and I will be very brief on this. I played Raiders of the the Broken Planet. Have you guys tried this one?
I have not tried it.
Not yet.
Yeah, it's one of those premium games where they try to sell you the rest of the game in installments. And
they have like the story packs or whatever. Yeah, so there's one out right now for $10 or so.
Right. And you know, it for a freemium game, it looks pretty decent. But I don't know, the shooting it just isn't all that great. They do some kind of interesting things with melee and some special abilities for the character.
What kind of game even is it? Because is it like Mad Max or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like Mad Max meets meets Borderlands.
Okay.
And it's a squad based thing where you're just kind of it's like you're doing a Destiny strike.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But a game like that, if the damn shooting's not good, then that's not a good game.
Yeah. It just, I don't know, man. It seemed like the weapons were too weak. That's the only other thing I've really played. I'm just my big day next week when Forza 7 comes out.
Speaking of Forza, Mark, what have you been playing?
I played a little bit of Forza 7.
A little bit. Listen to me.
I'm serious. I played maybe 5 races or whatever, and then I just gave it to my dad. And that was all after I downloaded the 60.6 gigabyte update or whatever the shit it was. And they said, oh, it's optional. You only have to download for the full experience. They just fucking downloaded it. It wouldn't let me, like.
Is this maybe the 4K patch and all that shit?
No, it's not. That's a whole other thing. And because they couldn't fit everything on one disc, and they couldn't put a second disc in there.
you actually had a disc.
Yeah.
I
purchase physical media.
Gotcha.
All the time. I am that person. Okay. I don't trust digital. I will buy digital. Time.
Did you buy the Ultimate Edition then? Is that how you got it early?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got it. Amazon had some price error or whatever really early on, and I got it for like $65. That's including tax and everything. So
I remember you putting that up there on the list to tell Rich, and Rich like, I ain't got the money.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was so much that, because the pre-orders, you don't get charged for anything. He's like, oh, is it the digital one too? I'm like, no.
That's what it was. You're right. Now.
But I played 5 matches, and, you know, it's more Forza. It feels good. It looks really good. It runs incredibly well. Like, it, you know, from a technical standpoint, Turn 10 is one of the best on the market. Both, you know, whatever the name of the other studio is.
Well, it sounds great. Everybody should go out and buy this, right?
Forza games are all great, but I don't like a lot of the little changes they've made. So, with the VIP thing, instead of just getting a permanent double credit boost, they now have, and this is just part of the game in general, is these little loot crate things or whatever the hell they call them, and you get in those mods. And with the VIP, you get 5 of these mods that will give you double credits and 5 uses for each one. But once they run out, it's all gone.
Damn you, and Overwatch.
You purchase these with in-game credits. I don't know if there will be a way to purchase them with real money, or if you can purchase in-game credits with real money. I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Ugh.
I don't like that. I really, really, really don't like the fact that you do not get any type of credit boost for adjusting the assist. Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Oh wow.
That's how I made my money, man. Yeah, if you turn everything off.
Like the braking assist and stability control and all that kind of stuff, you'd get certain boosts.
Right.
And if you adjust, like if you turn off the rewind feature, which I never use, I don't like that, you'd get a boost as well, a decent boost. But now the only boost you get is with making the drive avatars more difficult. But at the same time, you get 0 for average. If you go below that, if you do it like super dumb, it doesn't go negative. It's still at 0. So you can, if you just want to make it so that every race is going to be super easy, you can. And they've also added some new assists, the super easy assists, which basically, if you turn it, all of them on, all you have to do is hold the gas.
Oh my gosh!
Oh god!
That's like
for the kids in the house.
I mean, that can only be for really, really, really little kids that you want to play.
Or me.
They feel no, because that wouldn't be fun for you. It's not like Bayonetta where it's like, oh, I'm gonna masturbate with my, you know, unless you like hard with cars.
Well, maybe I really like cars, Mark. You don't know.
Or maybe you just like the custom designs that people have made. It's like, oh, somebody put a girl in a bikini on this car, and I'm just going to mash it furiously while I'm holding the gas. But I really don't like that. Yeah. And I don't know. It feels
So you're like trying to.
It just feels like they took away these little things that make no sense, and while it looks better, it doesn't look noticeably better. And I just, and it just doesn't even feel finished. I don't know why the auction house isn't up and running. It's not, that's not like a new feature they've never done before. It should be there day one.
Now, was it the last game? It wasn't there at launch either, right?
Maybe not, but
yeah, you
know, that's something new. That it's a fucking auction house. They've done it plenty of times before already, so get that shit in gear.
But I think that they never start the auction. The auction house usually comes out like a week after the game launches, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just not super excited about it. The structure of the career mode is... it's whatever. I've never really liked the career modes in Forza because they're not that... I mean, all they are is, okay, play a bunch of cups in this thing, you win some trophies, and you'll unlock this one. Whoop-de-doo. There's no strong sense of progression or any type of feeling that you're in a kind of campaign or anything. It's just, you know, we just put these races together in various cups.
Have you got any race
cars?
Have you unlocked any racing gear, like helmets or driver's seats or anything?
Got
like
some, But that's not that special either, because they're all full suits, and like you can pick, okay, I want this helmet with this bodysuit. Just all in one. And the only way, I don't know, like, I don't like the crate thing. It just, I'm really not feeling it, which is disappointing as a huge Forza fan. It still feels great, but it just, I don't know.
All right. That does sound like it's a disheartening thing.
I'm sure I'll love it.
Well, now that you've got the Project Cars out of your system.
The racing feels great.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll love it.
So, and especially coming off of Project Cars.
And it's 700 cars. I just wish they had some more tracks, some new tracks I haven't driven on. That's the one thing that Project Cars has hanging over my head. Tracks that I normally don't get to drive, so.
All right. Well, moving on. Mark, what else have you played?
I'll jump to the bottom just to get so I do all the Switch things in one. But I got Pinball FX3, which...
Is it the same pinball thing? Yeah, that's quite
it's bad, the same thing to a point. But it has remastered or whatever the visuals and like the lighting for the old tables, and if you purchase them in Pinball FX2, you can port them or whatever. You can get them in Pinball FX3. You can just...
There are some that don't transfer over, though.
There are some that don't transfer because they're not even in Pinball FX3, which is like the South Park tables, Plants vs. Zombies, Explosion Man, and like one or two more. I guess it's just some licensing
ran out on those. Yeah.
But the tables look great. And the new tables they've added, the current, because I believe they have the only ones that are new right now is the Universal movie pack with E.T., Jaws, and Back to the Future. Those all look especially great, and I enjoy playing them all a lot. It's weird that Back to the Future is my favorite of those series, but I enjoy playing the E.T. and Jaws table more, even though Back to the Future is way more. And this is the one thing I've never understood about their tables and the way they design them is how some tables are very high score heavy, where you can score just like 50 million easily. And you'll see high scores in the hundreds of millions. And then you have your other tables where it's like, okay, you're going to get a few million on average with each go. And the Jaws and E.T. table are, you know, it's hard to get 5 million. I mean, that's not super easy to do. But with Back to the Future, it's just like, okay, here's 50 million right off the bat. Because, you know, Superfro from the Signed In podcast, who is a pinball connoisseur, he has a high score of 140-something million for Back to the Future, and then his high scores for the other ones are like 3 and 5 million.
Well, I can tell you what happens there. See, you go back in time and you invest your pinball points.
Just shut up.
So in the future, they've made even more pinball points.
And I can already tell you this joke sucks ass, whatever it is.
I think somebody will laugh.
nobody will laugh. You will laugh. Your past self will laugh. Who made the joke? That's it. No one else.
My future self laughed too.
There you go. And your present self. It was a present for your present self, that joke. Har, har, har. I lost my train of thought.
Good.
Anyway, Pinball FX 3 is more of the same, but they do, like, the thing that I like most is not that you get this slight visual upgrade, but that they've added these, this kind of like XP system for each table. So as you play it more, you get these little power-ups that you can turn on if you want, like boosting how many points you get from bumpers or how fast or how long long shots will go. And they have these challenge modes where you try to see how well you can do with one ball or in a certain time limit. And that just adds more to the longevity and gives me something to do other than just fighting for a high score and competing against friends. It gives me some more to do in that sense. So I really like that addition. But, you know, it's free to download and try. Everyone gets Sorcerer's Lair for free, like they always have. And then you can purchase tables individually. If you have ones from Pinball FX 2, you can import them. And the new tables, the Universal Movie Set ones, are really good. And, yeah, it's always weird. There came a point where it's just like, I don't know what I'm going to say about these, because they're just, at worst, a Pinball FX table is good.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
But they're all, you know, they're all good, if not better. And if you love pinball, there's no reason not to support it and buy whatever tables look good to you, whatever tables are based on some license you like or whatever, because they're really good and the price is never that bad for the table. So,
all right. Well, let's hit these other things pretty quickly.
So these are all Switch games. They're all $10. So first is Konga Master Party. And this game is sort of like Snake. You are a dancer who goes to different areas. They're like bowling alleys or whatever. Plays like Snake.
This is your game of the year.
No. You can only use the bumpers to rotate, because you're basically on like a 360 axis, and you rotate left with the left trigger, rotate right with the right trigger, and you just dance around, and you dance around people to get them to become part of your conga line. And you're trying to collect a certain number of four different types in each area. Like, I don't know, there's like heart ones, there's the brainy ones, the cool ones, and some other shit, the top hat ones, whatever the fuck that one's supposed to be. And the problem with it is that if you're playing it single player, it's super fucking boring. It's so fucking boring. It is so boring. And even if you're playing the multiplayer, where they have modes where you're trying to, I mean, a lot of them end up just being collect more people than the other person. And then there's one where it's like, okay, you will get a power up at some point that lets you cut the other person's line, or you have these, they're just kind of fun for a little while. And then they get old, and then there's just really no point in sticking with it. The music's okay. It just is, it's really boring, and it was really disappointing. And then I've been playing Beach Buggy Racing, which was originally an iOS game, and then it came to PS4 and Xbox One.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Switch, and it's a kart racer, and I never really got into it on any of the other versions. Even though I have it on Xbox One, I played it on iOS. But for some reason, I'm really, really liking it on the Switch. It's one of my favorite Switch games at this point, because it feels good. It's not the greatest controlling kart racer or anything. And of course, there's going to be people who say, well, why would I buy another kart racer on a Nintendo platformer when they have the king of the genre in Mario Kart? And the reason why you would do that is because it's $10. That's way cheaper. But also, I think if you're somebody who, I mean, one, eventually at some point you're just going to be a little bit tired of all the levels and everything in Mario Kart, as much as there is in that game. But I think Beach Buggy Racing is much more has a much more compelling single player component, because you have more of a campaign mode, more of a career mode where you are going through these various cups and you're progressing and you are gaining coins, which you can use to level up your vehicle, and you unlock different characters who have specific power-ups and all that jazz. And it just is a lot more fun to play single player. There are certain power-ups that do go after the lead player, but you're not going to see a blue shell equivalent every single time you play, which makes it a lot less frustrating. But it's just solid. It also looks really good. I mean, it probably doesn't look great on the TV, but on the Switch, it looks really nice and really sharp. It doesn't look like Mario Kart, but it still looks pretty good. It feels good. And yeah, I mean, for $10, there's a lot in there too, because the career mode takes place over maybe 8 or 10 different cup things, areas or whatever, that are comprised after the first one of, I think, 12 different race types. So they have races, they have an elimination race, they have ones where you have to run through objects, shoot objects, and I think they're like a time trial thing, but it feels good, it looks good, and there's a lot in there for $10. So if you're a fan of cart,
he's a ninja. Shing. All right.
Right. And I don't know what was cut out.
It just stopped just a few seconds ago.
I think I still have a recording on my side too, just in case.
It better have not stopped recording the one time I had some positive things to say about a Switch game.
No, it got most of that.
Okay. Well,
so we just had we just had an issue where the quick recording, I wasn't paying attention. I guess it didn't see the minute pop up. So Mark is trying to pick up where he left off.
Yeah.
Take it away, Mark.
Anyway, whatever I said about Beach Buggy Racing, wherever it cut off, game's great. $10, pick it up on Switch if you have a Switch. Do it, or else I'll stop recording on you. I don't know what that means. Semispheres, play it on PS4. It's a puzzle game where you control two different little orby, squiddy things. And it's a split-screen thing where you are controlling them both at the same time. You don't always move them at the same time. But one screen is bluish, aquaish, and one screen is orangish. And it's a mirror image, so they're the same areas, but then the enemy placements, which are these orbs that have cone visions like what you'd see in the minimap in Metal Gear Solid, they will be in different places, and there will be power-ups on one side or the other, and then there will also be these little pockets where you can be seen and affect the other side of the screen, so you can make noise and draw the enemy away so that the one side can get through an area. And you're basically just trying to get these two little squid guys to a certain point on the map. And you just do that over and over again. It's a solid puzzle game. It's never too difficult, so it won't take that long. It's roughly 3-4 hours probably. And there's not much replay value in it, so once you finish it, there wouldn't be much reason to play through it again. But if you like puzzle games, it's a solid game, and it's $10. And it is fun to do it as well if you take the Joy-Con controllers off the system and play a little co-op.
All right, cool. We should probably move on to television. I did start watching Atypical last night, and that's pretty good. But I haven't only watched like 2 episodes of it, but the acting in it is really good, and it's awkward at times and sweet at other times.
Is really good. The mother's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she just continues to be awful. Excessively so.
Ugh. That's sad because, ugh. But Michael Rapaport is the dad, and him trying to bond is pretty good. So it feels very uncomfortable at times, but I would definitely recommend it. I'm going to watch more of it. So.
Yeah, it's this Netflix series. I actually watched all of it.
Oh, shit. God damn it. All right, Mark. What else have you watched?
Travelers, which I wanted to make sure we mention, as you recommended it to me, because I think that, and one, it's the second season. I don't know when it's coming out because I think it's airing in Canada at this point, and then it'll just come to Netflix and all other territories whenever that the rights thing goes through or whatever. But yeah. I wanted to make sure to mention it because, like I was telling you, I never even heard of it until you recommended it. And because of that, I thought it was maybe just going to be okay, or I would hate it. Continue. But I loved it, and it ended up being my second favorite Netflix series behind Master of None, even though it's not really, I mean, they call a lot of things Netflix originals, even things that are not made by them, but they mm-hmm. just get the rights for, and that's what mm-hmm. this is. It's a Canadian.
Have you watched this, Rich?
Production.
Nah.
You should. Need to check it out.
It's fantastic. It's basically a series about these people who come back in time to prevent a natural disaster of a, I don't even know if I want to talk about too much of the detail, but the way they come back in time is very interesting. Mm-hmm. They send their consciousness to someone who is going to die. And instead of that person dying, they just take over their body. So it's like, so they're taking over the body of someone who wouldn't have been using it after that point anyway. So it's not like they're,
I'm dead.
Yeah. And it's really well acted. It, one of the things that I like about it too is that there comes a point where they, and I guess, and I, it feels like some of the characters are more, are feeling it more than others, but there comes a point where they sort of are conflicted between their roles from the future and what they have to do and becoming ingrained with the person they took over and their feelings and their lives. So they're kind of trying to balance between the life that they took over and then their actual role that they have to do. And it's really, really good. The only thing I hate about it is the ending. Because I thought it was a 13 episode series. Like most things are like, oh, okay, it's 10, maybe some are 8, but like it was 10 six. Or 13. And this was 12. And when episode ended and how it ended, I'm like, wait, there's nothing telling me to play the next episode. Oh, this can't be the last episode. This is bullshit. But there is a second season, so that's fine. It's a fucking awful way to end a season.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out, man. Well, at least it's a second season, so.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's fantastic.
It's a fantastic show. And like I told Mark, and he just said, people didn't even acknowledge the show, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot, man. You guys have me put it on my radar for sure.
I feel like it might just be because the fact that it's not made by Netflix. It's just something where they got the rights, so they probably didn't push it as hard.
Right. Maybe.
Because right. I don't remember them ever mentioning it really either. Even though
I wanted to say though it did have the Netflix original tag on the.
It does have the Netflix original tag, but I mean, especially at this point, there's always every time I like launch Netflix or whatever, it's like 14 new series have been added in the last.
Oh, I mean, that's part of the problem. Jesus Christ. Right? There's so much content on Netflix.
Man. I know it has really turned itself from just like.
I'm like, I don't care. Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys, we should get this party started or ended. So we should
quickly
probably
talk about Star Trek Discovery.
Oh fuck yes, go ahead and talk about that.
Okay, I'll make it quick since Rob's got things to do.
All you have to do is tell us, is it worth paying if we aren't somebody who doesn't have cable or anything? And
I know nothing is worth. Nothing is worth it. Nothing. You could be the no. Nothing's worth.
Nothing
$5
is worth
a month.
$7.
No, it's $5.
It's nothing $5 is. A month.
But if you happen to have it, I'm so far I like it. I was
you can only play Forza by paying $5 a month. Would it be worth it?
Stop it. So
don't give them ideas.
I wasn't expecting much from this, to be honest with you, because the last Star Trek series, it was okay. I was totally blown away by the production value of this thing. It looks like a movie. It's no other way to put it. It looks fantastic. That being said, I think what they spent on the special effects and everything, they might have skimped a little bit on the writing. The writing seemed a little, I don't know, a little ham-fisted. I realized like the first two episodes are kind of trying to build the world out, you know, sort of flesh it out for you. This is supposed to happen before the Enterprise.
Prequels suck. Stop making prequels.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one could be kind of cool. The Klingons look completely different, and they talk mad slow.
And they're all subtitled, right?
Yeah, they're all subtitled. I mean, they do speak English, though, once in a while, just to speed things along. I don't know, man. I gotta see where this goes. It could either be really cool, or it could be kind of mediocre. The first two episodes don't really tell you a lot. They kind of set up where the main protagonist is gonna go with this. And I'm not saying a lot about details of the show, because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who might want to check it out. If you're a Star Trek fan, if you're a Trekkie, I would definitely check it out. And, you know, there are other ways to see things without paying for them, just putting it up too. So, I mean, it's definitely worth your while. If you got, you know, 2 hours on your hands and the means to watch it, I would recommend watching it. Unlike The Inhumans, which I watched yesterday, and oh my god.
But it does have a giant pug in it, right?
The Inhumans?
Yeah.
It's got the dog. Yeah, Lockjaw's in it. It just, I don't know where they're going with that one. That one seems...
I've never watched, didn't know anything about The Inhumans. I just seen an ad for it, and I'm like, is that a giant pug?
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's shoot in Hawaii. I always want to hang out in Hawaii. That's where it's...
All right, well, that's cool. So we should get to our plugs. Mark, what do you want to plug?
I am at PX Sausage everywhere. Twitter, Xbox Live, everywhere. Except PSN. We're on some shit. Who gives a shit? During the show, I got a bunch of notifications from another spam thing. I get so much spam.
I do too.
On PSN. Yeah, Jesus I do too. Christ.
Hey.
The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. You can find this podcast, the podcast I do, Pixelated Sausage Podcast, which I'll be recording the 400th episode of soon. Whew. And I think I might try and get my dad to spit some bullshit on it for it being a special episode. I don't know what. I'll just be like, here, say something. I won't even give him a taco.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to that shit.
yeah, the art I can be found and that I do can be found there as well. Or you can just go over to pxsart.com and see it all there. Get links to prints and all that jazz. And then if you'd like to support the site in general, go over to patreon.com/pxs.
All right, Rich, what do you want to plug?
I want to plug Sports Car Unleashed for the one or two of you that might actually be interested in sports car racing. You can check us out. We're on iTunes and pretty much anywhere you find a podcast. You'll find us there. And I'm looking for people to play Destiny with, because apparently I'm never on when anyone in my clan's on. So look for me on Xbox. Rolex DP Racer is my gamer tag.
I played Destiny too.
Yeah, we
more Destiny.
Yeah, I'm at the point now where I'm probably going to slow down on Destiny, because I've hit that 280 grind where it's almost...
Dude, I'm stuck at 270. I can't do...
Oh, really? I didn't have any trouble getting through 270.
Yeah, I just don't enjoy multiplayer in that game. I don't know. I don't enjoy
the Crucible. Yeah,
maybe that's why I'm meandering.
Well, you should definitely go start doing the stuff that's going on right now. Going and doing all the loot crates and the lost sectors.
Yeah, I've been having fun with that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and then you get those coins, you're blowing those things up, and those will give you like 275 weapons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, they'll start raising you up a bit, so...
Yeah, because I'm seem to be stuck at... I keep getting a lot of 265 stuff.
Destiny 2, and Destiny in general, is fun when it most mimics Defiance. And you get into a public event.
And...
Yeah, Defiance running at a good frame rate. I would agree with that.
And also, let's... I want to... Fuck. Oh, Indeed Podcast with Steve and Brady. Pixelated Paranormal Podcast with me, Preston, and Sean. And also the Main Event Podcast with Evan and Zach. So, those are all things you should listen to. That's going to be it.
All right, guys.
I got to go to work.
Okay, okay.
4 is a 7, yes! Can't wait.